And now talking with Donald Yabsley at Radiophysics in Sydney on 2nd March 78. Well, can you tell me what your background training was and how you first came in contact with radio astronomy?
Well, I studied engineering at Sydney University and...
Which kind, electrical?
And after 2 years of general studies, I elected to do what was then a combined mechanical and electrical engineering course, and knew about the fact that those who were interested in doing and specialising in communications engineering normally went off, interrupted their engineering course and did an extra year of maths and physics,
mm-hmm.
in picking up a Bachelor of Science degree. And I followed that course and then came back and completed my engineering degree. This was during the war, and looking back on those times, I can see that because of the shortage of skilled people and their preoccupation with other things, that the courses that we had were somewhat more sketchy than they perhaps should have been in some respects, and I was really, I guess, rather lucky to have the opportunity after completing the courses, which were also accelerated, so that actual courses were completed about the middle of 1944, and as I say, I think I was somewhat lucky to have the door open to Radiophysics Laboratory of CSIR as it then was, and I started work there as a very junior assistant research officer. And after a short while of doing this and that in the way that young graduates do, because they're not very useful to most people, I got involved in measurements of atmospheric radio noise levels at frequencies from the order of 1 to 10 or 20 megacycles per second, as it was then known. And this was of interest because of the fact that the war was still going on in the Southwest Pacific area, and information was needed on the background levels due to thunderstorm activity in connection with general communication work, and also more particularly in connection with the Loran navigation system. There was a Loran chain being set up at that time along the northwest coast of Australia. And for a year or so I was involved in that work, and it led to, led later to one published paper and some more voluminous laboratory reports put out by Radiophysics Laboratory.
Did you concern yourself at all with the cosmic noise?
But no, not at all.
Because it was, its intensity was so much lower than the atmospherics.
With the kind of measurement system that was being used, it wasn't suitable really for it in essence measured the minimum usable signal strengths of essentially a synthetic radio signal, and right now I wouldn't be sure that it had the sensitivity, perhaps at 15 or 20 megahertz, one might have been measuring at some times against cosmic static.
Was it generally known, general knowledge about Jansky's and perhaps Reber's work amongst your group?
I honestly don't remember now. I was essentially, as far as Radiophysical Laboratory was concerned, it was a one-man group. I was working with some service personnel.
Where was that paper published?
In the Australian Journal of Scientific Research.
I'll have to check that out.
I can give you a copy. Anyhow, this this work was brought to a halt after the end of the war, apart from writing up an account of some of the more interesting results of the, got some information on slant propagation, skyway propagation at 1.8 megacycles per second out of the Loran work, and I wrote this up. And at about the end of 1945, Dr. Pawsey approached me and asked me would I join in the work that was just getting underway on looking for energy from the sun at wavelengths of the order of 1.5 meters and longer.
Had you heard about this sort of thing at all before?
Well, I'd heard about what was going on at Conroy, and I forget whether Dover Heights had started at that point, but there were indications that one could pick up radiation from the sun, and probably at about that time the work of Hay certainly would have been known to Dr. Pawsey, and I guess it was brought to my attention then, but I really don't remember some of these details.
Yeah, many people knew about it. I'm trying to get an idea of how many really. Let me just also ask, as I said yesterday in my talk, Frank Kerr has made the remark to me that the Allies' campaign in the South Pacific was greatly aided by the fact that it was solar minimum. You agree with that?
I really wouldn't be in a position to agree or disagree. Because I haven't studied the records of what that particular solar cycle showed. The cycles are generally very variable, one from another.
But indeed, if activity were...
I guess there'd be fewer interruptions. The fact that it is a minimum means fewer interruptions, so you can plan your communications, and if you have only a certain number of frequencies allotted to you, you're more likely to be able to get through on the one that you've planned, which...
This also presupposes that the communications and radar technology of the Allies was superior to that of the Japanese, otherwise they would be aided in the same way.
Yes, agree.
And do you agree with that?
Well,